Japan 2.0.
Tell me when you want to go.
You see me on your television. You hear me on your radio. You like it where your eyes.
But tell me when you want to go.
Japan 2.0.
Tell me when you want to go.
Two point.
Hello and welcome to Japan 2.0. These are your two favorite hosts, David and
Matt. And we're here today to talk about something that's near and dear to both of our hearts.
For sure. I don't think I could stay in Japan that long if we didn't have this thing, if the quality of it wasn't so good.
Yeah, and you can't find better quality music in Japan. And this is going to be an episode about music and specifically concerts.
And, I always try to hold off on the topic, like, it's going to be a surprise and get them guessing, but I forget that the title is right in the podcast, right?
People know what live, we're going to be talking about.
Live right? Music. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I've seen about 10 shows here so far in my time in Japan in about 2.5 years. So that's like 4 or 5 shows a year. How about you? What's your...
Let's see. I guess I've seen about 8. Shows as well. Some of them were just DJs and stuff, but they were a special event, so I consider that as a concert.
Yeah, for sure, that's a concert. Live music, that's the title,
if you pay right? some money for live music, it's a concert, right?
Yeah. And I don't know, what do you think, like, preconceptions before we came out here, music in Japan? I mean, we were maybe a little bit more knowledgeable, not to toot our own horn, but I think one of the things that drew us to Japan is, like, our love for the music, you know? So I think we're kind of aware of the scene, but still being said that, like, what did you think? Do you think it was going to be better than the States where we're from, or, like, the same?
Yeah, I always knew there was a big music culture in Japan, and I had known that a lot of foreign acts and stuff come out here.
Yeah.
And anybody comes to Japan at some point. You see a lot of photos of famous musicians in Japan or having a big connection to Japan. Mm. One of the big ones for me was the Intergalactic video with the Beastie Boys.
Beastie Boys, yeah, big Japanese music connection for me.
Yeah, they were one of the biggest connections because they have that video. And then I think it's... they dress in a lot of, like, clothes from Japan, you know. Well, outside of, like, their...
Intergalactic
video, yeah. There's a lot of, like, connections to Japanese fashion and stuff, yeah.
Ben Davis? Is that the brand there?
Yeah, Ben Davis goes... Ben Davis is pretty popular in Japan,
Extra Large is massively popular here. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, so there are those connections.
They're wearing, like, kimonos in their videos.
Well, they're not wearing kimonos. But I remember, I think it's the, what is it, what's the DJ one? Mixmaster Mike. Yeah, 3 MCs and 1 DJ. I can't believe I forgot that. But in that video, Mike D, if you watch their DVD commentary, he said he's wearing clothes, like his Japanese friend dressed him. But I mean, that's just like one example of a connection. But I mean, everybody from, I mean, the late David Bowie, R.I.P.
Breaking news.
You know, of course, John Lennon and Yoko Ono, you know, it wasn't anything new that music is a big deal in Japan.
Yeah. For me, like, my awareness came from when the internet came out and I was always trying to get, like, rare B-sides and stuff from my favorite groups and bands. It always said, like, Japan release. Mm-hmm. And I was like, why is Japan, like, what's with this place? Again, I was kind of just getting used to Japan as a kid, like, in middle school. But I was like, why does this place get all this special music? Like, what is it about Japan? I think later I found out that, like, media consumption here, even to this day, where it's dying everywhere else in the world, is still a big deal here, from magazines, the CDs, and people pay good money. I think a CD will run you, like, $30 in Japan. So
because it's the only place in the world where you'll probably pay $30 for a CD.
The reason, I think one way to justify that is, well, you get this special track only for you and no one else in the world gets it legally. So that was kind of my first awareness to, like, whoa, Japan's got some kind of music thing going on. Music must be a big deal there. And then, I think I just started watching a lot of live concerts, and a lot of my favorite bands had big followings in Japan. You know that phrase, I'm big in Japan?
Right.
I don't know what it is, but Japan seems to pick up on these certain groups. And again, maybe it's another reason I was drawn to Japan, but as always, groups I liked, going back to the Beastie Boys again, or David Bowie, two of my favorites, you know, who are massive followings in Japan. Sometimes they're the weirdest bands that are so obscure in the States, and they'll have, like, a big following here, you know? Zebrahead is this punk band that's like that. They're way bigger in Japan than they are back home. But
I always think of the scene from Spinal Tap at the very end where their album is not selling anywhere in the States and, you know, in the UK. And when they go to Japan, like, everybody's cheering for them and they're a big hit. I mean, it really is that way for some of these groups, you know, real groups. Spinal Tap is, of course, a mockumentary. So, but yeah, a lot of people make their careers out here, and a lot of people that don't make, maybe they don't make it in the States, they do a lot of touring, and well, maybe we should get into the types of acts that we've seen or the types of acts that come to Japan currently.
Yeah, remind me to talk about how bands get paid out here, local bands, when we get to that later.
Okay.
You brought up a good point. But yeah, I think our experience, the bands that we've seen out here, maybe we'll go just kind of chronological order. For me, the very first show I ever saw was, if you go back to our Din Din Town episode, we have feature Shara Lapa, SDP, and that was the first live act, live music I saw out here, which is quite a big one.
It's number one.
The hit, my history and loving them is big, but also, like, it's a big venue. It's an expensive show. Back home, I didn't go to a lot of pricey or, like, big shows. I saw a lot of underground bands. I never paid more than, like, $15 or $20 for shows. So the SDP show, to me, was pretty big wow factor, you know? We just recently saw them, for me, the second time, and Matt's first time about a month ago as well.
Yeah.
So that'd be a good one for us to talk about together. But, I mean, you just notice a lot of things, which is that there was no opening act. Both times I saw them, they just open, you know, themselves and play for about an hour and a half, maybe 2 hours. And that, to me, is just astonishing. That show cost, was it $65, $80?
Our last one was $60. Yeah, $60, 6,000 yen.
Yeah, so I remember for me to pay $60, no opening act, that's high expectation. Like, my background, again, everything's relative where you're from. I have friends from Australia and New Zealand who said, like, oh, yeah, you can, $60 to see a world-famous band, you know, that's cheap. But I think in the States, generally, you're going to pay, what, half the price?
Yeah. Well, I think, once again, like you said, it depends on what you're listening to. I think both of us were into underground music. Mm. And out here, SDP is not underground. They're well-known, you
know. They're probably the most famous hip-hop group there is, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I mean, those are some just kind of interesting facts, just laying it out when you go see them. The venue that place was at, Universe,
yeah,
is probably my favorite venue. It's probably my top five in the world that I've been to.
One of the coolest venues I've ever been to myself.
Yeah, it's very eclectic. It's called Universe for a name, for a reason. It has planets inside, these big planets. It looks like it's straight from the 70s, would you say?
Oh, it's got to be from the 70s. Yeah. When I do record shopping, I sometimes come across compilation albums of from 70s records, you know, like 70s music, like people singing, like it's usually like a show where somebody comes on and they sing a song and then the next guest comes on and they have the year it's on, and it looks like Universe. Exactly what it looks like. Yeah, it's got a stage, and then behind the stage are all these fluorescent lights. Mm-hmm. There are these like 70s disco balls all over the place, and yeah, big old dance floor. Mm. It's an awesome, awesome venue. And you can tell there's a history there, you know?
There is. And that same building is called the Masano Building. This is in Osaka, around Namba. And there's a old hotel above it. It's been converted into bars. And there's a model shop where he had, like, models of the local trains and model of that building he built himself.
But the whole building is basically a shrine dedicated to music. Because even when you go up to the bars and stuff, they're all music themed, you know. Like, there's the goth bars that are playing, like, you know, industrial. And then there, ended up going into a bar that was playing like vinyl. They had DJs in there that were doing one guy spun a Mario Brothers song that I've never heard before. Yeah, but this place is it is music culture in Kansai and Osaka, you know.
They rarely have shows, too. I'm always, like, I just want to go there. I don't care who's playing. I just want to go. And when I go on the website, it always says, like, no upcoming shows.
So they save it for special guests.
They do. And like wow. I said, STP's played there twice. Yeah, they're a great live band, right?
Yeah. Really good live band. Awesome. It was an awesome show.
What about you? What's some of the shows you've been to?
Well, my first experience was, it was a different type of venue, I suppose. It's like a bar, just like a jazz bar. Yeah. So the first, second time I came to Japan.
On vacation.
I was on vacation, and I just wandered into this place that said, it just said black music.
Yeah. I always remember you telling me that.
Yeah, it said black music, and they had a bunch of pictures of... like Lou Donaldson and a bunch of jazz musicians, B.B. King, and I thought, well, I'll go check it out. And one night, it was right by my hotel, and I was like, I'll get a couple of drinks and check it out, listen to some jazz music. And I went up, and they had this a full band in there, and there was hardly any room. There was, I mean, I'm a tall guy. I'm 6'2", so you know, I got long legs, and I had to squish my legs up to sit in this place, because with the piano and the stand-up bass and the trumpets, I mean, there was no room for me. And everybody was dressed to the T. They had like the fedoras on and the suits, and the women had like flowers in their hair. I'd never seen anything like it really in person. Like, I've seen it on TV or in a movie. And they were playing some awesome, awesome songs like Route 66, and they were dedicating songs to me, because the lead singer asked me, do you like Frank Sinatra? And I said, yeah, I like some of his stuff.
Yeah.
And he was dedicating a bunch of songs. And
how would he say, just point to you or say to the guy?
Well, I was talking to some of the members of the band, because it's such a small place. I was right next to all of them. And before they started singing and performing, they were all just having drinks, and they asked me where I came from and what I was doing in this, you know, how did I find out about the bar? And I gotta say, it was one of the best experiences I've ever had, like, in Japan. And probably, like, musically, it's like one of the coolest things I ever saw. The band was so good. Like, sounds so
unexpected, right, too? I mean, it's not like you were, like, waiting, you researched it, you just popped in and had a great time, and it's probably music you normally don't often listen to or see live, you know?
Yeah, it wasn't particularly cheap either, because they did make me buy some drinks, and the drinks in this place were not cheap. They did give me little cheese slices, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yes.
But yeah, it was one of those moments where I was like, yeah, this is a country of music. And these are people that really appreciate music. And if I feel like that really informed me that the Japanese musicians and Japanese music enthusiasts really take it so serious that if they focus on one type of music or something, they really focus on it, and they try to like act the whole part, you know?
I think that's a philosophy that goes beyond music. It's definitely something that runs deep in like Japanese culture and, you know, whatever they do, hobby you have or job you do, even if you're a garbage man, you do it to the T and like,
right.
You
live that if out. You're going to do something well.
But it's crazy to see when you see music, especially things that aren't popular now or common now. Like, we went to the party in Kobe, the Seoul, Northern Seoul party. What was that one called?
It was Nude Bar.
Nude Bar.
Nude Bar in Kobe.
Yeah, yeah. And they do a special night once a year. We'd heard about it a lot. And it was like going through a time warp. You know, you walk down this bar, and honestly, we came in just wearing, it was on Halloween, so we were wearing like Halloween costumes. And everyone else is dressed, like Matt said, to the T, straight from like the late
shine 60s. Shoes, you know, and like
the dapper slick hair, suspenders, like the big baggy pants.
The women had on their nice dresses, you know, like
they were smoking like everyone was smoking like chimneys too, just like you'd gone back in time. And the cool thing about it is, as well, it's not pretentious either. We thought we were going to get, like, laughed out of the place. We knew we were going in Halloween costumes, and we didn't know how serious they were going to be about, you know, really acting the part and looking the part. But, you know, we were welcomed with open arms and come dance.
Yeah, the owner came up to us, and he was like, where are you guys from? And he was really talking to us. And, I mean, sometimes I do go to things like that, like when I was at Nude Bar. And I imagine if I went there just, like, dressed how I usually dress, you know, in my urban street clothes, urban apparel, right? But I might feel like, man, should I be dressed you know, in a tie? And
of course, I think it's just natural to feel that way. But there's no outside force that's inflicting that, you know.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, you want to fit in. It's like human nature, and I do. Like, I want to go back there next year and dress the part and do it, you know, and try it out.
But part of me wants to, like, take something like that serious, you know.
Yeah, of course.
I mean, don't you want to start dressing in Shibuya K?
Mm. yeah, why not? But that's the thing we wondered was, like, what do these people do the rest of the year? Like, is this their, like, weekend wear every weekend? Are they going to work like this? Or they save this for the once-a-year party and, like, bring it out, you know? I don't know. It's a mystery.
It might remain a mystery.
Yeah, yeah.
I guess when we meet somebody and we become friends with somebody that goes to those kind of nights, you know.
We'll ask them.
Yeah.
We'll find out.
Some other parties that we've gone to.
Yeah.
We saw a concert, like a young teenager's concert.
Yeah, so, I mean, we've kind of set up some of the concerts. I think it was just naturally we'll go into them. But talk about, like, different venues and prices. There are some free shows out here. They're very, very rare. And Matt was talking about the young teenager party we went to. There's a place in Kobe, a live house. That's what they call the venues out here. And they do a couple of free parties out of the year. And they're kind of like samplers. So there'll be, like, 30 or 40 bands playing, and they all, maybe 20 or 30. And they all play, like, just one or two songs, and that's it. And if you like it, then you go see their show and pay the big bucks for that. And we caught the trail end of one of those.
Yeah, I think we came in for the last two band. Acts. I think we got, like, the tail end of, like, one band, and then we got the last one. Yeah. But, man, that concert left an impression on me. That concert was awesome.
It's great because it's free, so, you know, your expectations are low. And even that venue is pretty cool. It's underneath the tracks, and it's like a tree fort. You know, there's, like, all these, like, fake trees in there. Really, really clean, though, a nice place. And I felt like we were the oldest people in there, maybe.
Oh, we were definitely the oldest people in there. It was like a high school party, you know?
I like it, yeah.
And the bands were these guys that were, like, kind of, like, I guess, I don't know how to describe
it. I would say pop punk.
Pop punk, yeah. But they were kind of darker as well. Like, I mean, I guess pop punk, they were wearing makeup and had, like, bleach blonde hair.
But they were really good stage presence. And the crowd was, like, up doing, like, crowd surfing, jumping off the stage and stuff, too, at the end. I have a video of it. I'll see if I can post it up. But
one of the rowdiest shows I've been to as
Again, I don't know what it is about me, but most of the shows I go to are pretty rowdy if they're Japanese groups. But I remember we got a lot of attention for going to that show. Maybe it's because we were 10 or 15 years older than everyone. And they were creeped out by us. But I think it had to do with us being the only foreigners there, too. But, I remember getting a lot of stares being there.
Yeah. A lot of people were giving me high fives and stuff.
Yeah, it was such a great vibe, live energy. I've been to some other pretty hardcore punk shows as well. I went to the one, there's a venue called Namba Bears. And that's an awesome venue because they allow outside food and drinks. A lot of times, you know, you go to a venue and the selection's limited. The prices are a tiny bit higher. Out here, it's only a little bit higher. You know, back home, it's going to be double or triple the price. But, yeah, you could just go to the convenience store and bring anything in, which was the first time I've ever experienced that. That was awesome. We were seeing an Australian punk band. I'm forgetting their name right now. It'll come to me later. But there's these Japanese bands that opened for them, and they were wild, like, I was never been so scared for my life at a show. I was, like, hiding in the corner, literally, because this lead singer was, like, tackling people in the audience. It was insane. He's wearing, like, a leather motorcycle jacket, no shirt underneath, shaved head, and just tackling people. it was wild. It was fun. Like, in hindsight, it was fun. I was scared at the time. But for me, that kind of just blew away any idea that Japanese crowds are docile or can be lively. I think Matt's had some different experiences he's going to talk about, but that show in particular for me was one of them. I've been to a lot of shows back home. I've probably been to 200 or 300 in my life, and it was definitely the most energy, the most aggressive show I've ever been to in my life. But yeah, you saw a punk band recently open for Zubombs.
I'm a big fan of this group called the Zubombs, and I guess this episode we'll probably do a song of theirs, and that'll be sprinkled in.
Yeah.
The concert we went to, it opened up with this punk rock act, and this guy was, he had like no shirt on, he threw his shirt off,
the shirtless guy,
and he had like he had scars like he had cut himself, you know, like all over his chest, and he was just,
I wonder if it's the same group.
It might have been, but I mean, they were really good, great stage presence, and he just, that's not really my kind of music, but I could appreciate it. And he was just jumping out and doing cartwheels and like jumping in front of people and yelling at girls, and the girls there were there for the zoo bombs, or and they were like hiding from these guys, kind of like David.
Yeah. You call me a girl?
No, but. But you know, you're not the only one that got nervous.
Yes.
Yeah, but it was really aggressive. And but the one thing I did notice, and I've noticed this going to a couple of concerts, is that with certain acts, and I don't think the people there were there for a punk rock show. Yeah. And but during all the other sets that the other bands did, like the clapping was kind of low. Yeah. Like, there wasn't a lot of, like, clapping or hooting and hawing, you know? And when I go to a concert in America, like, people are clapping for, like, 10 minutes, you know, and screaming, and the band is just kind of looking around like, oh, yeah, we did a good job there. But here in Japan, it's kind of like the clapping is really short. Like, some people clap. Some people clap, like, you know, 4 or 5 claps, and then they... You know, I'm usually the loudest one yelling, yeah, yeah.
I didn't notice it. Matt brought it up when we were talking about the show and recording the show. But now that I do think about it, there is a lot of silence in between songs, like dead silence. You can hear the buzzing of the microphone.
Yeah.
And I guess you're right that back home that would probably be filled in with, like, just at least murmuring or talking or some kind of sound.
Usually people are still cheering and stuff or clapping or going, oh, man, it was great, you know.
Some kind of commentary, yeah. It depends on the show. Like, I think the STP show is not rowdy, but pretty lively. There's a lot of chanting. And remember that guy kept saying one more time.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, when they're done, if you want an encore, you know, yeah, you gotta do that, yeah, you know. Yeah. And they will do encores here, I don't know. I feel like sometimes the groups now, maybe it's the shows I've been going to see.
Yeah.
I saw a Shibuya K show where they were doing there was like a ska band, and then there was this guy playing a what was he playing, a melodica or something, and then and a harmonica and a piano player. After all their songs, it was just like a couple of claps, and I was like, oh, should I be clapping? I feel like I need to clap for these guys, you know,
yeah,
and root them on. They're great acts. Mm. I mean, great groups. So, yeah, I don't know. That's one of the things that I found kind of odd.
Mm-hmm. All right, well, I think we've been going at it for a while.
Take
about
a break.
Time for a break in our special segment. So listen to a little bit of the Zoo Bombs, and we'll be back. It's time for your favorite segment of Japan 2.0.
Two-point hacks.
Today I'm here to tell you, you know, Matt and I are pretty frugal guys, and this is a hack on how to be more frugal and save your money. I do it every week. I just did it today, actually, which is going to these, what I call ticket vendors, but the Japanese name for them is kin-kin, and we'll have that in the show notes. It would be very important if you're out here to look it up and you're a cheapskate like us. But there are these little old shops, and they all kind of look the same. They have all these, like, prices outside and little square, you know, homemade, like, looking, like, I don't know, how would you describe them? Little pieces of paper
They can be intimidating because it's like a lot of information at one
point. It's a sensory overload a bit. Yep. And there's like always a glass counter, and the people who work there are always really, really old too. And they're typically by major subway stations as well. And they're quite important. Like for me, I'd have a hard time not living by one because I don't want to like pre-plan out like when to buy them. For me, I'm lucky it's 2 minutes out my door. So whenever I'm going to go out to Osaka today, all right, I'll just swing by and get it. And
we haven't really even said what they are. They're discount ticket
discount vendors. Yeah. And it's not only train tickets, which are an important part of your life here, but they'll sell like Disneyland tickets and concert tickets.
Movies.
Yeah. It's got to be popular stuff. I mean, if you're going to go see an obscure art house movie or a band that no one knows, they're not going to have it there.
Or if you were trying to go to a station that's like a small station, they're not going to have tickets for that.
Yeah.
They're going to only have tickets for major stations like, Osaka, Kyoto, and major stations in between.
Do you know how they work? Like how they get those tickets?
From what I've heard, and maybe this is just a theory, but for what I heard was that businesses will buy lots of tickets for their employees, and then when they don't sell them by a certain time, they end up selling them to these ticket vendors.
Yeah, that's exactly. Either I told you that, or us.
Well, I think
we heard the same thing. But yeah, I mean that makes sense. I used to like think like they're like shady, like black market kind of stuff, and then I heard that and made me feel a little bit better about buying them. But like an example is Osaka for me is about 800 yen each way to get out to Osaka Station, which would be 1600 round trip. So $16. And when I buy it from the ticket vendor, it's about 900 yen. So almost half the price.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I think we go to Kyoto from Osaka Station. Mm-hmm. And I think with the discount tickets, my wife and I pay 1,400 round trip. That's about 700 yen each way. Yeah. That's a great deal.
Mm.
It is about half the price.
Yeah. And even the longer distance you go, the more money you save. That being said, like the Shinkansen, which is the bullet train, runs from, for us, Osaka to Tokyo or vice versa, or a lot of other places, but that's the route I usually take. You only save $15 buying that. But still, it's $15.
$15
bucks.
Helps.
Buy a couple of drinks or buy a movie or something like that. But yeah, it's essential. Like, I have friends who don't go there. Like, we'll be going out.
Is that a pride thing or something?
I can't figure it out. Like, why not? Like, is it you just don't want to take the time? You don't really know how they work? But again, yeah, I don't, maybe I'm just a big cheapskate or something.
I've never stood in lines there. Like, I mean, there's no lines.
A lot of times they actually have vending machines.
Yeah, if you can read the kanji, yeah, just put your money in and then hit the button and your tickets come out.
Well, that's pretty much it. I mean, it's pretty simple, but it's very important, especially if you're saving money.
You look up Kinken on the internet if you're coming out here, because, I mean, if you want to save some money, that's definitely a Japan 2.0 hack.
That is. So save your money so you can spend it to go see live music. All right.
All right. We're coming back to the other part of our segment, which is live music. So stick around.
Boom! So, we're back, and we want to tell you a little bit about the different kinds of venues you're going to find. We jumped in a little bit, we named some places, we talked about how they're different, but there's still a little bit more to talk about. And for me, one of the most fascinating things about live music in Japan, this is a general rule of thumb, I'm sure you can find places where this doesn't apply, but almost all places, the artists or the bands playing, they have to pay to play. And what I mean by that is, we'll just give an example. Let's say Matt and I have a band, and it's called the
Two Crude Mon Dudes.
And we're going to play tonight. The owner of that bar or venue might say, well, you got to pay $1,000. And you can sell tickets, at $30 a pop. And you got to, you might make your money back. You might net money from that, or you might lose money. So the artist puts up the risk to play. And that's insane to me, especially a place with such a strong music culture like we talked about. It's a pretty unfriendly rule,
Yeah, and they pay a certain rate, and then when the ticket sales start coming in, They have to pay that off first. So let's say they don't fill up the venue, then they have to, they lose money.
You can be in the red. Yeah.
So I think that's another reason to encourage bands to be
good,
you know, the best they can be. Yeah. You know,
that's a good point. Maybe that is why the quality is high. That would just never ever work back home.
Yeah.
It's one of those things. It's just such a big cultural difference, and it's gotta be hard for smaller bands. So that being said, I do think that's why the ticket prices are quite high here. And I've never been to shows that are super, like when we see Western bands, Jurassic Fives, a group we saw.
Yeah, we paid $8,000, so that wasn't a cheap one.
$8,000, and that's at a venue called Big Cat, which is a pretty legendary one in Osaka. And like, I mean, it's nice to go to a place that isn't crowded, and to us, Jurassic Five are idols, and they're huge, they're gods of hip-hop. And how many people do you think are at that show?
I would say
400?
Yeah, 300? Probably 300, I guess.
And that place could probably hold 1,000 if it was crowded, would you say?
Maybe. I don't know. I think we're estimating a little high.
It's probably with 50% capacity.
But yeah, there definitely wasn't packed.
Yeah.
And same with the STP show. I mean, those are both very similar venues. They're dance floors with a big stage, like a main stage.
Yeah.
And yeah, they neither of those shows were at capacity.
Yeah. And I don't know, in a way, that's kind of weird and sad, but it's nice. You can get up front easily if you're willing to fight up front, you know, to get up front. Maybe they just don't have to be crowded, you know, to make money when you're charging that high price. I'm not really sure, you know, how it works. But I would say if you're coming here, you know, or seeing a show for the first time, you might notice that the shows aren't as crowded.
I wonder if it's because the venues know the amount of people that they can, like, have an average of, like, okay, we need to make this much money to make it worthwhile to bring out an act like Jurassic 5.
Yeah.
So we'll sell the tickets at this price because we know that there's this type of a fan base.
Yeah.
Like, once again, like, the fan bases are kind of fanatical, just like how the bands, if they go in, they go all in. You know?
And they'll... When they sell merchandise here, too, it's pretty expensive, again, compared to back home.
I'm wearing a Zubom shirt.
You are. But now the Zubom seem to be, are they from Osaka, do you know?
No, I asked them, actually. Okay. I talked to them, and they said they're from Tokyo.
Because they're pretty, like, the show is cheap for Japan, right? It was 20-something bucks.
25.
And how much was that shirt?
I think the shirt was 35 or something like that. So expensive. About the same price as the it might have been, I think it was 35. Yeah.
If you don't know, Japan's the land of like the $40, $50 t-shirt.
Yeah. There's a lot of cool t-shirts, but you're going to spend.
Oh, they're awesome, but I mean, back home, no one would spend more than $20 on it. $20 is the most you spend on a t-shirt, right?
Yeah.
Liz and I, it's a bit of a tangent, but we found a sweatshirt, like a Nike, nice black Nike sweatshirt the other day. It was $60, and we both said like, oh man, that's a good price. And then we realized
we would have
like
said that.
$60 for just a sweatshirt. Like,
I used to go to Walmart to buy like just black zip up sweatshirts for like $10 or something.
Yeah, I mean, granted, like the material is really really nice here, and they're great. But a hoodie will run you $80 to $100 here if you're buying like a Japanese brand hoodie. So yeah, $60 for a Nike sweatshirt was cheap for us. But, so, like, the t-shirts and things are expensive. Do you think there's any difference between, like, Western artists and Japanese artists? Like, the kind of venues that they're playing in?
You mean the types of venues?
Yeah.
Is there a particular difference you're thinking of? I mean,
I'm surprised that they're not as big. I would imagine that when I see a Western group, they're coming all the way out to Japan, that it's gonna be, like, a stadium show or... Like, Jurassic 5, for example, that was my first time at Big Cat.
Yeah, but there's still an underground act. Yeah. I don't think we've gone to haven't been to a concert like Lady Gaga or Herbie Hancock
those ones would play at Namba Hatch is the Osaka place, the really big stadium where a lot of people would play. Oh, I saw this guy, Sam Smith. He's a popular musician with my sister.
I know you're the biggest fan.
I'm the biggest, so I'm hiding it, you know. And that was the biggest show I've ever been to in my life, actually, that wasn't a festival. I've gone to, like, Warped Tour and stuff. But just for one person, it was huge. It was in the stadium, and it was just fold-out seats. I don't know. It was the saddest concert I've been to in my life. You just watch them on a screen the whole time, and
because you were so far away.
Yeah, I could be on YouTube watching it, and I feel like the sound quality was good, but like I could have better visuals.
Yeah, Japan, I mean, a lot of, like, your smaller venues and stuff, I mean, it's the intimacy of the show that's, like, worth the price.
That's kind of what I was getting at, is it's worth paying that price for the intimacy of
the show. I mean, the Scott Darapara show was, like, there were a lot of people there and a lot of people towards the front, but not so many people that you couldn't, like, work your way a little bit closer.
If you were aggressive, you could get up front, even if you came late.
Yeah. And even if you were in the back, you still see the concert really well. That's, you know, true. Like, I mean, that the universe is a big place, but it's not that big.
Yeah.
I mean, I prefer to see shows like that, because if you are in a stadium and you're that far away, it's like you could be looking at your phone, you could be doing a lot of other things, you know. There's a lot of other distractions before you get to, like, the actual act. Yeah. Or you're watching a screen, which you might as well do on YouTube, you know. Some other types of venues are, I mean, they're the small clubs, like where I saw the Zoo Bombs. It was basically a bar, that one bar, but it's four venues, you know. So, like, they have a bar, so a couple of places to sit, and some standing tables. So
for me, that's the most similar to kind of shows I would go to back home.
Yeah.
And then maybe it's because I've seen the most, like, rock music live, right? Where you got, like, a bar. It's clearly kind of made for that kind of situation.
Yeah.
It might...
Flyers all over the place. Graffiti.
200 people, maybe.
Stickers on the walls. Yeah.
Bathrooms are trash.
I don't know. Those were some pretty clean bathrooms for that type of venue. Yeah.
I mean, that's been the basis. The most shows I go to in Japan are that kind of situation. Yeah. I see a lot of local Kobe bands, you know, rock bands, and
I think they don't charge more than, like, you know, $15 to $30, you know, 1,500 to 3,000 yen. That's that type of venue. That's, like, the type of price you'd pay to go see some shows.
Yeah. There's one more kind of show and venue that I want to talk about. It's a local Kobe group called Bacho. And that was probably my best experience, because I went in with no expectations. I didn't know them. My good friend Albert recommended them. And it was just the most, like, interactive show I've been to. Again, I think it was $20 or $15 at the maybe 80 people were there. And the band just came up, like you were saying before, and just talked to me before, asked where you're from. They knew their crowd so well that to the fact they didn't know someone who was in the crowd, they came up to me like, hey, why are you here? How'd you hear about this? You know? And it was very much a family atmosphere. And it was right after New Year's. And they're like, oh, we're going to, like, make mochi after the show. Will you please come join us with mochi making? You know, it's Japanese New Year's tradition. They asked, I was oblivious. You know, I was like, oh, no. They're like, oh, you got to do it. You got to do it. And yeah, and after the show, they opened up, like, bottles of tequila and alcohol. And it was just passing around totally for free. And yeah, we all took turns hammering mochi. And they're cheering me on, you know, and... It was such a cool vibe, like, so welcoming, and, you know, I don't have family out here, and it really felt like I was, like, part of this family, and they're like, come back every year, we do this, you gotta come back, you're part of the family now, and stuff, and incredible, incredible vibe, like, so intimate, and I haven't seen them again, that was about a year ago, but, you know, if I ever get the chance, I totally will.
And, that's awesome, that sounds like an awesome experience.
So, that was my best experience, my worst live show. Was probably at the same venue, and it was advertised as a Shibuya K show. And we got there too early. It started at 10 and it went to 5 at 5 a.m., which maybe we should...
Bringing up a good point.
I'll let you lead in that in a second. And so we could only hang from like 10 to 11:30 because we had to catch the last train, and it just wasn't kicking off at all. And it was just this room. It felt like a really bad high school house party. First we got there on time when it was supposed to start, and no one was there except for, like, the venue owner, and he's like, oh yeah, come back later. Like, so then we came back about an hour later, and we walked into this really tight room. It fits 10 people max, and they're selling, like, a cooler of some Chuhais, and we bought one, and really awkward conversation. And then we walk into the next room, and there's just this, like, disco ball on the floor spinning around, projecting, like, shards of, like, light on the walls. And then the music is so low, like your grandma would play it. And there's this guy, you know, DJing, like, digital vinyl back there. And some people sitting on couches, like 8 or 9 people. And I went with Albert again, and we were just standing against the wall, like, didn't know where to look or what to do. And it got a little bit better, but it was, I don't know. We felt like we couldn't leave either, you know, because it was so small that they would notice if we left right away. That was probably the most disappointing or worst show. Why don't you go into talking about times a little bit more?
Yeah,
and I want to hear your best and worst experience.
Okay. Well, I mean, they probably have to go. They tie into this because it seems to be my biggest problem with live shows. Mm. Is for a country that's very punctual in almost every aspect.
Yeah.
The shows sometimes are either on the dot punctual or they're not even close. And a lot of times, like, they'll advertise shows at 9 o'clock or maybe 10 o'clock or something like that, which is great for me because I could catch the last train. If the show starts at like 9 and it ends at 11, then I could get on the train and I could get home without having to take a taxi or something.
Mm-hmm.
But a lot of times you go to these shows and it says 9 and you come in and there's nothing going on. Like, sometimes there's not even, like, a DJ sometimes they're, like, playing music or somebody's like, oh, why are you here? And I'm like, is the show soon or is it, you know, is this open? And
so you've had that happen. I thought it was just a weird one-off thing. No, you've had that?
Yeah, it's happened a couple of times.
Uh-huh.
And so sometimes it's hard to tell, like, when a show actually starts. And oftentimes if you go to see DJs or if you go to, like, a bar that has, like, DJs or something, and they tell you a time, like, let's say it's, doors open up at 11, don't expect any of the good music to go on until, like, 2 in the morning. So you really have to pull an all-nighter. Luckily, they usually do this stuff on Fridays or Saturdays, but on occasion there's a Sunday show that goes till 2 in the morning, and then you can't go.
That was a big other thing I wanted to add. Is while we're getting on, like, our biggest irks, I guess, about Japanese music, is mine is that bands will play on Tuesday nights or Wednesday nights. For example, my favorite Western artist these days is called Grimes, and she's coming out here on a Wednesday night. Not during a holiday or anything. And, I mean, granted, it does start earlier. Doors will open at 8. And she'll probably go on at, like, 9, you know. But, I mean, who wants to party, you know, on a Wednesday night? Like, everyone's got to work. People work hard here. They work long hours. I really don't get that.
I guess it's just, once again, it goes to that fanatical thing. You know, if you're that into it, you're going to go.
Wednesday. My guess is that maybe on Tokyo, they're doing weekend stuff. Like, so she might be playing, like, on a Saturday, and then maybe she enjoys her time in Tokyo for a day or two, and then by the time she comes to Osaka next, we just always get it.
Well, that's why we often get the Sunday shows.
Sunday,
Because, like, Jurassic 5 was on Sunday because on Saturday they were in Tokyo.
Toro Imoi, the other guy I wanted to see, he's playing on Wednesday too. So, like, these Western artists, you pay thousands of bucks to come out here and fly you out here, and the best time they can get you is a Tuesday or a Wednesday. I don't know. If you know the reason why, please, please, you know, get
us up
on Facebook,
or Twitter.
That one kills me. I've never heard a good reason.
Yeah. I guess my worst experience, if you want to know that, it was my birthday, and I wanted to go to this place called Stomp. And they were advertising a show at 9 o'clock, and I got there, and they were like, no, the show doesn't start until 11. And I was a day, it was Sunday night, so like I was like, oh, man, I wanted to go 9 o'clock, you know.
Yeah.
I wanted to spend some time, you know, have a couple of drinks, listen to some good music. It was soul music. It was the night was called Hit the Spot. And we ended up going to see that venue and that place another time, but I couldn't go. There's no way. There's no way I could get there at 11, stay up till 4, and then get to work the next day at 9 o'clock. So, it was just... That's a bummer, you know?
Yeah,
like, worst. When you really want to go see something and you get there and... my wife, you know, she doesn't always want to stay out that late. And which, understandably, I don't necessarily want to stay out that and do all-nighters too.
Yeah.
I will do it sometimes because I have I'm that fanatical that I want to hear the music, but you know, it makes it harder for me to see shows. And I really wish that, like, some people would do things a little bit earlier. Maybe it's the old man in me, David.
No, but I think on the other end, again, like, these artists I'm seeing coming up, like, starting at 8 o'clock. I've never been to a show that starts at 8. When you don't have opening acts, right?
Yeah.
Like, they play 8 to 9:30, and then you're done.
But you don't know. Sometimes there's opening acts.
It's rare. I think it's
For a main show.
Western groups usually don't, because then they'd have to travel out with them. I think it's more expensive, you know?
Yeah.
A lot of the Western groups I've seen, they don't have opening. But yeah, Japanese groups, you're right, better chance, but not always.
Yeah.
What about your best show?
My best show had to have been, oh man, that's tough. I would say really, I mean the jazz one, to be honest.
Yeah, that first one.
Like that was an amazing experience, and it was more than just the music. You know, it was that full experience. I would say that Jurassic 5 and STP, you know, were the seconds, because they were just great shows.
STP is probably my best, like for the music, it was definitely the best.
Yeah.
You know, the there wasn't like a special event or something that happened, but yeah, they're a great live band, right?
Yeah.
They put on a really good live show.
Seeing Konichi from Pizzicato 5 DJ, that was pretty awesome.
That was a recent one. Yeah.
Yeah, that was an incredible DJ set. But so like that music was great.
Another thing we wanted to get in was kind of the demographics. So I mean, I actually got, this is our first time talking about that, but how was the demographics to like a Shibuya K, you know, dance party? Like, was it younger people, older people? My experience, I'm going to guess, is that it's pretty mixed.
Well, you know, we were in Tokyo. Yep. So, I mean, I think a lot of the old school crowd was coming out for that. I mean, the people that were partying to this stuff in the 90s, you know. I would say that the demographic was anywhere from the youngest person was probably in their late 20s, maybe. So it was 20s and up. And there were some ladies there. There was a lady that would look pretty old, yeah, you know?
Like grandma status?
Yeah, she could be a grandma. Yeah. I mean, young grandma,
okay,
you know?
Yeah.
I'll give her that. But she had the whole thing, like the blonde wig and like the checkered...
The French vibe?
Yeah, the French vibe. Man. The Shibuya Gay French vibe. She was the most Pizzicato 5.
That's my personal, my favorite thing. Like, in Korea, we had this experience at one of my favorite places out there, but... Like, just a mixture. I don't know anywhere back home, and it's kind of rare in Japan, too, but when it does happen, you got people in their 20s and 50s and 60s, I love that vibe. Because no one's trying to hook up, you know. I just know I can go out on the dance floor and dance with whoever, and it's going to be awesome and fun, and I don't know how to describe it. It's such a good feeling.
Yeah, you know, the nice thing, and the thing that I would say that is really different, is there is, like, this community based around the types of music people listen to. Mm. So when you show some interest in stuff, there's people do try to bring you into the community.
Yeah.
When I went to the Shibuya K concert, the guy throwing the concert, Boot Beat, kept buying me tequila shots and stuff, and I had a Shinkansen the next day, so I was kind of like, I don't want to do
too much moment, fire, right?
But yeah, I had to live in the moment, and it was... But it was just so much fun to like be there and appreciate like
the same. You summed it up well. Being welcomed into the community, and it doesn't matter your race or age or whatever. It's just for like the love of the music,
the clothes you're wearing and stuff. As long as you show like an interest, and I think that that's something that's very different from. I think back home, like people go to the concerts and shows and DJs to either go for hooking up or for going for the show, and then after it's done, they leave. And
even in Korea,
they don't really socialize.
You know, in Korea, the Western groups we'd see there, I always butcher that name, Super Color Future or whatever.
Yeah,
Tom's gonna be mad because I always
Super Color Future.
Felt like you would go there. People would go there to be seen there, or like. I don't know how to put it. People were there for the wrong reasons.
Well, but Korea doesn't have the rich music culture that...
Yeah. But it wasn't really the... That was kind of an expat community thing, wasn't it? Because it'd be primarily foreigners, you know?
Yeah.
I haven't experienced anything like that out here when I go... even Jurassic 5, you know?
It feels like people that have been listening to this music, the same music that we've been listening to, that's what they do. They listen to this music, you know.
True, they just love it.
Yeah. And they're probably there every week.
Mm.
So, I mean, if we went to the same clubs all the time, I'm sure we'd start seeing the same people all the time.
I think that's because a lot of the things we talked about in this episode, right? Like the high barrier entry sometimes, the price, or the weird day of the week that it is.
Yeah.
I think that's a nice filter that gets out maybe the people who aren't really into it, and the people who are there, you know, are the true lovers of that.
Yeah, we're the true heads, right?
Yeah.
Not quite.
Well, man, this has been a fun episode.
Yeah,
I think I really covered everything, about live music in Japan in my 2.5 years. What about you? Was there anything else?
Not really. I think we covered about most of it. I just recommend, like, if you come out to Japan and you get to see a live show, you got to do it, because
I'd say even if you're on vacation for a week or two, find a random local show to go to. It's a great jump into the culture, you know.
Yeah, you get to see a side of people, you know, a lot of times, right? People, yeah, are a little bit guarded, you know. Mm-hmm. I mean, that old adage that, you know, the Japanese people are like an egg, you know. At first you got to crack it, and then it's like a tired expression, but
it's kind of true.
But like going to a concert like that, you really see people like cutting loose and you know, taking off the business suit for a night, you know.
Well, that's another thing, is people will show up there in business suits.
Sure.
You go to a punk show or a hip-hop show, and there'll be something like that. Yeah. I guarantee you got one person in a business suit.
I come off of work and gone to a concert before, so I understand.
Yeah. All right, Matt, well, you know, you're going to preview the Zubombs a little bit. Why don't you tell us a little about their background and how you found out about them and why the Zubombs are awesome.
Yeah, so actually the Zubombs are pretty recent for me. Mm-hmm. When I moved to Japan, I started really researching Shibuya K, because I decided when I came here that I'd start buying lots of vinyl, like pretty much all Japanese vinyl while I'm out here. I buy hip-hop too, but... Yeah. But I came across the Zubombs, one of their music videos for the song Jumbo, and they really spoke to me, because they have that silly quality and happy-go-lucky kind of quality that I like in music. Mm-hmm. But they also have like a very like almost a dark humor kind of vibe to them, you know. I'm wearing their shirt right now, and it's like a cute bear,
but he's a got bit like, evil, isn't it?
Yeah, he's got like demonic eyes, you know. Yeah. And if you colored the eyes anything else, it'd probably be a lot cuter. But they're like glowing eyes. So that group is kind of encompass a lot of things I like about music. You know, they have like a kind of a garage psychedelic sound. And some of their songs are like a little more hip hoppy and a little
funky,
and poppy and funky. Yeah.
I like their funk stuff. Yes, personally.
But I think if you were to ask them, I think they'd say they were garage or
garage punk.
Yeah, garage psychedelic is what I'd consider them. We're gonna listen to a song. It's called, or I guess you've already been hearing it. It's called South Central Rock, and I hope you dig it. Should we do our house cleaning?
Yeah, house cleaning. I mean, you always check the notes, but on Twitter, we're at Japan 2.0. You can search Japan 2.0 or spell it out however you want. We're on Facebook. We've been putting up a lot of cool stuff on our Facebook lately, right?
Yeah, you just started an Instagram where we're highlighting some of our favorite records that we find.
There'll be random stuff on there, but that's mainly where we're going to put up our vinyl. Pretty much just recording us putting on vinyl. So if you're here for the music, you like the music we're playing, Instagram's probably going to be your thing. So search for us on Instagram.
Yeah, you get a little taste of some cool songs. And are we anywhere else?
Well, we're finally on iTunes. You know, it's a big deal to get on iTunes. It takes a while, but we're there. And so subscribe. That way you don't have to, you know, keep up to date. We come out bi-monthly. But if you just subscribe on iTunes, that's the easiest way. If you're an Android user or Windows user, you can get us on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
If you like us, you know, you can rate us on iTunes. That's a really big way for us to get bigger. And like I said, once we, you know, can get some more episodes out, we'd love to have like audience feedback and take your questions and incorporate you into the show.
Yeah, please find us on Facebook and write to us, you know, with suggestions or things you want us to cover or things you're interested in. We'd like to hear what our community is interested in.
Yeah.
And if you have any questions or, you know, topics that you want us to cover, you know, leave those too.
Yeah. So enjoy the music, and until next time.
Yep. Stay cool. Peace.
Peace.